Okay, the book of Romans, chapter 15. Finishing up this chapter today. I'm thankful for the book of Romans. And so our passage for today will be the last few verses in chapter 15, verse 28 through 33. 28 through 33. So we're dealing with Paul's ministry here and his prospect that he has with regard to getting to Rome. So let's read these verses in unison. So we're starting with Romans 15, 28 through 33. Here we go. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed it to them as fruit, I will come to you anew. Bang. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Pray for your blessing upon us. Bless and use the word of God as it goes forth. Help us to develop the mind of Christ that we may know and have a perspective on all of life. We pray. We commit all the needs of our assembly to thee. We pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in Romans chapter 15. So if you look there at the outline, we're in the Roman numeral 6 there, and righteousness instrumental for service. And so here, under the subcategories with respect to church responsibilities, civil responsibilities, and Christian responsibilities. So in chapters 14 and 15, Paul is dealing with the assembly, the six assemblies there. And as we have looked at this, he has a plan. His prospect is to get to Rome. But before he gets to Rome, he needs to go by Jerusalem. So he's indicating that. We saw that last time as we looked back there in the book of Acts. So much of Romans is built off of the book of Acts. So if you look back there in Acts chapter 18, here Paul had been at Athens, and he started the church. Then he went to Corinth. He went to Corinth next and started a church there. And then he went on to Ephesus, started a church there. And so his desire now is, in 1821, he says that, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will, and sailed from Ephesus. So here his plan was to go to Jerusalem for the for Pentecost, so the 50th day after Passover. And so he wanted to be there. He wanted to preach another Pentecost message like Peter preached. So he wanted to go to Jerusalem. Well, with Paul now, Jerusalem was a hot spot normally, but with him being there, it was extremely hot spot for him to show up, and so there was real danger for him to show up there. But in spite of the danger and the challenges and so on, Paul understood his stewardship in life as well, that he needed to be faithful to the Lord and go, and whatever the cost would be, he's willing to pay the cost if necessary to be faithful to the Lord. And so that's our calling in life. That's our calling in life. So he's an example here. If you look there in 1921, Acts 1921, he says there, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in his spirit, or in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So that's his plan. He's had this plan for a long time, a burden to get to Rome. But before he gets to Rome, he has to go to Jerusalem. So he says, his life planned out, as it were, by the Spirit of God, that to minister back at Jerusalem and then go to Rome. As we move our way through the book of Acts, we notice in the next chapter, 20, verse 16, Scripture says, And Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he had been to Ephesus, started the church. He knew if he went back to the very city, he'd tarry there because of all the needs and the people and everything else. So he wanted to meet the elders there on the shore by Miletus and have a meeting with them and move on. So this was a plan. So you see, he was committed to a plan, and he's trying to accomplish the plan here. So that's what we see here. Now, next we see in chapter 20, as he talks to the Ephesian elders there, he says in verse 22, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." So he's bound. Who has bound him? The Lord has bound him in the will of God. He wants to do the will of God. So the will of God bound him. And the will of God should bind us. As we have the mind of Christ, we ought to be bound by the will of God. The will of God is the most important thing in my life. Amen. And so I'm bound by it. Now, in the next verse, he says, "Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions, that bonds and afflictions shall abide me." So as he went to different cities, presumably with prophets there, they would say, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound and have afflictions. But Paul said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must go to Jerusalem because I have a gift from the Gentiles to take to the Jerusalem church. So I must do it. I must do it. And so he says there in 20:24, he said, "But none of these things move me." In other words, he's not going to be moved off track. See his commitment here? "Either count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So he realized he had a course in life. We all have a course in life. We all need to fulfill that course. And so in attempting to fulfill the Lord's course in our life, it's a hard course. It's not an easy one. It's not all downhill. It's uphill. It's a hard course to fulfill. And yet we want to finish our course. We want to finish our course strong. We don't want to whimper across the finish line. We want to finish strong in the Lord. And so, as spiritually strong, of course. So here's his testimony. It's a ministry that he's received of the Lord. All right, so here we're developing the mind of Christ. The Lord has created me. He's called me to salvation. He's called me to serve. So I must do it. Whatever choice do I have? What other choice do I have but to do this? What if I don't do it? Then I have a loss there at the judgment seat of Christ. So anyway, here's Paul's testimony. But we're not done with his testimony. If we move forward here in chapter 21, here things really get tough for him because as he is moving through various places. In verse 4, it says, 21:4, "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." So here they were impressed by the Spirit of God saying, don't go to Jerusalem. Now, why not go to Jerusalem? Because you're going to be find bonds and afflictions. All right, so that was their opinion. Paul, don't go to the place where you're going to run into a lot of trouble. Now, that's the counsel, all right? That's the counsel. And we'd probably be giving that counsel, too. It's going to be dangerous. But he said, no, I have to fulfill the will of God, whatever the cost is. And so as we go through this, then, notice a prophet comes along. This is the prophet named Agabus in verse 10. He shows up and he says in verse 11, 21:11, "When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So here's a prophet, Agabus. He knows by knowledge from the Lord. When Paul goes, he's going to be bound, and the Gentiles are going to capture him. So he knows that. He knows the details. So now things get more specific for Paul. You go there, you're going to be bound and afflictions, and now you're going to be bound and afflicted and turned over to the Gentiles. All right, and so in verse 12, and when we heard these things, both we, as Luke and others, and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. See, and so his motto was, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. So it's going to come sometime. And so he's ready. Verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, so it's hard to persuade a man with the gift of prophecy, filled with the Spirit. We ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. See, so was the will of the Lord done? Absolutely. And he knew the will of the Lord was to go to Jerusalem. Now remember, some said, don't go there. But Paul already knew, this is the will of the Lord. And so they said, all right, the will of the Lord be done. And so this is the background. So now Paul has given this background, and he now writes to the Romans. And so in this, he had a love for the brethren at Rome, even though he hadn't met them necessarily. And he wanted to go there and minister to these six churches. So if we now look back here in Romans chapter 1, so we're trying to tie all this together. See, we're trying to develop the mind of Christ from the life of Paul. And so Paul says there in Romans chapter 1, we covered this some time back, but he says here in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So notice, six churches are impacting the Roman world because they're in the nucleus of the Roman Empire, and they're impacting the whole world as different people go out and come in through there. He says, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So he wants that journey to be prosperous. Prosperous journey to Rome. Well, he understands it's going to be via the Gentiles. It's going to be via afflictions. It's going to be via difficulties. But that's what he calls a prosperous journey. So the Lord's journey for us is always the hardest journey, but it's the most prosperous journey. Think of that. And so, well, I'd rather take the easy route and the least prosperous journey. That's what the flesh says, right? But that's not what the Lord allows. He doesn't allow us to make these decisions. So he impressed upon Paul, and Paul had to do this. He had to do this. So he wants a prosperous journey. He says in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles. So this is the background. This is why he's writing the letter. Now he's concluding the letter, and he's indicating, I'm still coming to Rome by a prosperous journey to use my spiritual gift to bless and help you. That's his drive here. That gives us a background of all this. Now, as we look at the outline that I've given here in these verses, we notice in verses 28 and 29, he talks about performance. He has to perform. When therefore I have performed this, so his performance, recognized, first of all. Secondly, the prayers requested, verses 30 through 32. He has prayer requests here. And thirdly, the peace realized, So as we look at this, let's notice, first of all, in verse 28 and 29, the performance recognized. So he says, when therefore I have performed this. So he's going to have to perform something. What is that? To go to Jerusalem. He has to go to Jerusalem. Why does he have to go to Jerusalem? Well, he tells us this. So the fulfillment of the performance there, that he is heading to Jerusalem. So now we've got some background verses again. We look here in chapter 21, Acts chapter 21, that is, fulfillment of the performance, Acts 21. We find that in verse 15, and after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manassen of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, and the brethren received us gladly. All right, so he, the Acts bears this out at a later time, but here he needs to fulfill the performance here. And we see he finally does. He finally does there. Notice fulfillment of the promise, and then the future of the performance. He wants then to go on to Spain. We see that in verse 28. Now notice he has sealed to them this fruit. So it has. So therefore, when I perform this and have sealed to them this fruit. So what's the fruit? The fruit of the giving of the Gentiles to the Jerusalem church. And it's, so he says, has sealed to them this fruit. So remember that takes us now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians. So remember, he had started the church. And now, later on, when he writes Romans, this is after he's already started the Corinthian church, he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and so he was at Corinth for 18 months. So he says, now concerning the collection, that's 1 Corinthians 16:1, of the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the order he gave was, if you're going to give, put it in the church on the first day of the week. So when I come by Corinth on Sunday, the money will be there. That's the order. He wasn't ordering them they had to give. He was ordering them on the specific day, if you do give, you do it on this day, so when I come by. And notice there, what would the Corinthians be doing on the first day of the week? Oh, they'd be having church, right? First day of the week, church, offerings. First day of the week, offerings, and so on. Sunday. All right, so, and lay him by in store. So the local church now, rather than the temple, the local church is the storehouse. Like that? That's Galatians, or let's see, Malachi 3:8. And then he says, verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever you have approved shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So here he's going to have other people go with him with the designated gift. It's a designated gift to the Jerusalem church. So you think when he was on his journey and he got there, and he went on the ships through the Romans as a prisoner, and so on. But he occasionally got off the ship. You think he used any of that money to sightsee and buy tacos at the local place and so on. You think he did any of that? He didn't use that money. He sealed it. It was a sealed gift of the fruit of the Corinthians to the Jerusalem church, or the Gentiles of the Corinthian church. So we see, have sealed to them this fruit. I will come by you unto Spain. So our passage there, we saw in Acts chapter 15, 21-15, he shows up, he gives the money to James. And there's not much said about that after that point. But no doubt it was a blessing to them. And then he goes on to say in verse 29, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So here we see another passage that brings out the culmination of this, found over there in Acts chapter 28. So the last chapter, although keep in mind this is still the future, but we see from Scripture, as is recorded here, he does show up there in the blessing and fullness. So in Acts chapter 28, the verse 14, Scripture says, 28:14, as he makes his way from Melita, or the island of Malta, and eventually gets to Rome. As he's approaching Rome, different groups come out to meet him and so on. But notice there in verse 14, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. So he's heading towards Rome. He's finally there. Now keep in mind, he's a prisoner of Rome, but the Roman government gave him certain privileges because of his character on the ship and so on. And verse 15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and at the three taverns. So this is another location there. Whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So think of this now. He's going to his first Roman imprisonment. He's a prisoner. He wanted to see Caesar, so he's going to be imprisoned till he can see Caesar. And so he's going there. But as he sees believers from Rome now meeting him on the way, he's encouraged. He's encouraged. And verse 16, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. So he's in a group of prisoners, several hundred prisoners there. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So how'd that happen? Remember, he's a prisoner of Rome. He's along with several hundred other prisoners. There's 276 on the ship. Among them were the prisoners and so on. So he makes it there. But he was given special situation here that he could have his own house. How did that happen? Well, and part of the journey here was that the Roman centurion who was in charge there, he recognized the character and the spirituality of Paul and gave him certain privileges. Think of that. Now, Paul didn't ask for any of that, but it was given to him. It was given to him. So Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And in verse 30, if you look there in Acts 28:30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. So he had to pay the rent for his house or his place. But I wonder where he got that money. Well, Scripture doesn't say anything, but probably the believers gave it to him. They probably gave it to him. So he had to rent out his own house for house arrest. It's unusual, but received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So notice, this was a prosperous journey. Even though he had to go through Euroclodon and put on the island of Melita, and was bit by a serpent, all these things, turned out to be a prosperous journey. It turns out well for Paul. Why? Because he has a stewardship. He's praying. He wants the believers at Rome to pray and so on. So notice as he has the prayers of the people and so on, the Lord's blessing him all along the way. Now, he prayed for a prosperous journey. And so this was a prosperous journey. And it was paid for by the government. Think of that, paid for by the government. So Acts, of course, all these events in Acts comes after he has written the letter to Rome, to the Christians at Rome. But this is how we see it's being fulfilled here. We have the performance recognized. So he recognizes he has to perform this to get the money to Jerusalem, and then ultimately to come in fullness and blessing to the Roman believers, and the Roman believers were blessed by him as well. So think of that then. While in his first Roman imprisonment, he's in house arrest. Anybody wants to know about doctrine and theology and Pauline theology and hear from this Christian man, all they had to do was go to his rented house and they could hear. And so he taught multitudes. And so what did he ask back there in chapter 1, remember? What did he say in chapter 1, verse 11? For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. So here these believers from these different six churches come, presumably on certain days, and they hear Apostle Paul talk to them, using his spiritual gift and instructing them in the great mysteries that the Lord gave him. And so Paul had a prison ministry to outsiders. Think of that. It's a big reversal. Of course, the Lord's a great reverser, but he had a prison ministry. by the way, imagine the guards. The guard that was chained to him. Oh boy, here he goes again. One more time I have to hear this. This fits into Ephesians chapter 5. So when Paul was in prison, in the Roman imprisonment, he wrote Ephesians, wrote four prison letters. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, he begins to go through the armor of a soldier and makes the application for the Christian life. So he's chained. See, he says here in verse 20, so it's Ephesians 6:20. For I am an ambassador in bonds, or in a chain. All right, that's Ephesians 6:20. I'm in a chain. He's chained to a Roman soldier. he looks at the Roman soldier's outfit. Oh, he's got breastplate on. He has a sword. So on. I'm going to make the application. He makes the application. And so we see that in verse 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil. Stand therefore. Here's a guard standing there, chained to Paul. Wonder how long his shift was. And having your loins girt about with truth, and laying on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparations of the gospel, and the shield of faith. All right, so he's looking, he's making the application. So, see, Paul used every opportunity he had. So, we get back here to Romans chapter 15, and this is what's going on in Paul's life. He's having a prosperous journey. Because to him, the only thing that really mattered in life was the will of God for him. And we need to realize as well, the only thing that matters to us is doing the will of God. And doing the will of God starts in the local church. Starts right here. That's where it starts. Serving the Lord here. And seeing what else the Lord has for us. So, next we notice the prayers requested. The prayers requested. So, in verses 30 through 32. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I might be delivered. So he gives a listing there. So let's look first of all at the determination. determination, he says, I beseech you, brethren. He says, I beseech you. He's making a determination. Relative to whom? So he says, I beseech you, brethren. So he wants the brethren there in Rome. Brethren in Rome, you pray for me here. Pray for me. So prayers can be heard all over the world. All right, so you pray for me, he says, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. It's for the Lord's sake. Well, in what way is this the Lord's sake? Well, the Lord's sake was to get the gospel out to Rome. Why Rome? Because it's a center of the Roman Empire. And so the Lord, who is the Lord going to send to take the gospel, who has the gift of prophecy and the mysteries of God, to Rome? There's only one man. That's Paul. So he had to go. He's doing this for the Lord's sake. And for the love of the Spirit. And I see another member of the triune Godhead, the love of the Spirit. And then he says, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me. So here, he wants their prayers for him. So Paul wasn't a one-man machine that didn't need anybody to pray for him. He needed everybody to pray for him. We need everybody's prayers, not nobody's prayers, or just one person. And so he wanted their prayers. So notice that's the not only the individuals related to prayer, but the intensity of the prayer. So here he says, I beseech you. Here is a plea. I am beseeching you. Come alongside of me. The paraclete type of response here, parakaleo. And then not only the request, but the rigor. The rigor in striving together. So this is a word, one-time word. It has soon. That means together. And agonizomai, which has to do with agony. So he's saying, agonize with me in prayer. In agony. Agonize. Get serious in this prayer life. Agonize. Agonize often, frequent, early. Agonize in prayer. Only found one time, but he's asking them, you agonize with me in prayer. Think of that. That's what we want to do for one another. We agonize in prayer. And so we see the rigor that's involved here. So notice the determination, first of all, then the details concerning the prayer. So he lists four details in his prayer sheet here, you might say. First of all, he says in verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. So who's that? Unbelieving Jews. He might be delivered from them. So he knows this is going to be a hothouse. This is going to be highly dangerous. It's already been prophesied. I'm going to be afflicted and beaten. I know I'm headed for a beating. I hope it's not as bad as that stoning, but I know I'm heading for a beating in Jerusalem. So notice the fulfillment of this. Once again, we're looking here in Acts. So I'm trying to show you going back and forth between Acts and which came later in the events of what Paul was requesting. So if you look there in Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 21, he makes it to Rome. I mean, he makes it to Jerusalem. He hands over the money to James. We saw that earlier. And now we notice he's been falsely accused in Jerusalem by taking a Gentile into the temple area. So in verse 29, this is Acts 21:29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed, see the word supposed, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. That's a false charge. He knew not to bring a Gentile in the temple. False charge. And all the city was moved. What? This man brought a Gentile into the temple from Ephesus. So the scripture says, all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band, and all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain of the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So here a mob descends on him and grabs him, starts pounding on him, trying to kill him. So how long does this go on? How long could this go on? I mean, we're talking about seconds. And Luke, who's writing this, who's no doubt an eyewitness, he's writing this. He says, immediately chief captain takes the soldiers, the centurions, and ran down. So how long would it take them to run? I mean, we're talking about seconds here. So in the providential working of the Lord, the captain and the centurions were right there in the area. Right there in the area. And it says when they showed up, they left beating of Paul. And then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him. Now he's under Roman arrest. So just as Agabus predicted there, he'd be beaten and then he'd be taken by the Gentiles. So there's a prophet, makes the prophecy, and sure enough. So we have, so Paul's praying. And his prayer request is that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He was delivered. I mean, if he had not been delivered from the Jews, they'd have killed him on the spot. So he was delivered. So here's his prayer request. And did the Lord answer the prayer request? Yeah, he was delivered. And I probably had a few lumps on his head, but he was delivered. Paul didn't pray that when they throw their blows at me, they're all missed. He didn't pray that. But he was delivered. Follow that? He was delivered. And so prayer request number one is given and answered. Given and answered. And then secondly, that he would be accepted by his saints. Notice he goes on. That my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So here he wants the service. What's his service? To bring this money from the Gentiles. So why would he say that? I hope they will accept this gift of money I want to give to them. Why would he say that they, anything else? Well, Jews, would Jews want to accept Gentiles' money, dirty Gentile money? But these are Christian Jews. This is James and the church there. So now they know there's only one name for believers. That's Christian, not Jews and Gentiles. And so they were ready to accept the gift. Whereas normally, no, this is dirty money from the pagans there. We're not taking any of this. And so he prays that they would do that. And so we've already read there in chapter 21 where he comes, he gives the money to James, and they receive it. That's prayer request number two that's answered. Then we go on. He says in verse 32, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. So come with them by joy in the will of God. So once again, we saw that in Acts chapter 28. Remember Acts chapter 28, where this is fulfilled. We look back there in Acts 28. So we're trying to connect all this. So he shows up there, and in verse 14, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So he was thankful for them. And the brethren, and we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them. So the brethren desired he'd stay with them. So I think we could understand he was accepted, and there was the joy in all of this by the brethren that met him there. And so here he shows up. In fact, some of the groups came a series of miles from Rome out here to Appia Forum and so on, a series of miles that they had to travel to meet up with him. Somehow they understood, hey, he's coming along with all these other prisoners. Let's go out and meet him. And by the way, he was probably the only prisoner that was met by anybody away from Rome. Think of that. Think of that. And then, so joy by the will of God. So was this the will of God? Remember the brethren said, the will of God be done? Yes, this is the will of God. And then, and may with you be refreshed. And so he was refreshed. And then he was able to stay in a place of refreshment, the rented house. Think of that. the rented house. Hey, well, come over here. Don't mind the guard I'm chained to. Go, come over here. I want to preach to you. And he'll get to hear this message one more time. So I wonder if those guards wanted to change off their duties with somebody else, or they enjoyed it. Maybe they got converted. Maybe some got converted. So anyway, so we see the details in his prayer request. So finally, not only the performance recognized, prayers requested, now the peace realized. So in this verse 33, and now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So the God of peace. Now the God of peace is alluded to there in Romans chapter 5, for instance. This is where we gain peace through justification, 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the same God of peace that's given them peace will continue to give peace there. And then notice in the next chapter, chapter 16 and verse 20, notice what Paul says to this church relative to peace. 16:20, he says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So what's that mean? Well, I think what that means is, of course, Satan was bruised at the cross. But I think what this means is the final culmination of the destruction of Satan as he's cast into the lake of fire in Romans chapter 20. And so he compresses all eschatology. So all eschatology is compressed together in his thinking, because the next event, Roman Christians, is the rapture. Rapture, 7 years tribulation, 1,000-year millennium, Satan cast into hell, lake of fire. So he compresses all this, saying God is going to bruise Satan shortly. There is the imminent return of Christ. Imminent return of Christ, as he compresses everything together, which is going to compel or be comprised of several hundred years, to be sure. But he sees this all as eschatological. So for us, the rapture will bring an end to Satan's efforts to try to hurt us. The rapture will do that. And so that's the blessed hope. So he says, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The cross already happened. So this is going to be the culmination of the end of Satan, and this is going to happen shortly. Shortly from God's point of view. Because for us, the rapture may come today, and all efforts of Satan towards us or our being tempted by him come to an end with the rapture. May happen today. All right, so there is the God of peace. All right, so the peace is realized as he shows up. So as we conclude all this, notice here, Paul's determined prospect was to visit Roman churches after Jerusalem ministry on Pentecost. So he knew this is the will of God. Lord has a will of God for us. We don't know all the details of the future, but there will be some hard times in the will of God. What are you going to do when the hard times come? You going to bow out? Or are you going to realize the stewardship? I have a stewardship to go through the will of God regardless of what the cost is. Which means then in the future of our church, we need to go forward here. We don't know what the future holds in this land and how things may really deteriorate. But one thing for sure is, until the rapture occurs, the Lord's churches are going to be here on earth and proclaiming the truth. And we trust that this church will continue on until the Lord comes back. And so we need to be faithful. That means older folks, means younger folks. Everybody's faithful to the Lord until the Lord comes back, or the will of God for our life comes to an end through death. But whatever it is, we need to be faithful to the will of God. So here we see Paul's example. And remember, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am Christ. So this is not just an interesting story about somebody else. No, this is an example for us. It's an example for us. Our Father, we praise thee for the time we've had to be in the Word of God today. We thank thee for the testimony of Paul. Help us to live according to this and realize your will for our lives. And and put it to practice as well. Bless each one here, we pray. Thank thee for the opportunity to use the Word of God and hear from thee. We pray that you'll bless our assembly, help us to grow in the mind of Christ, to understand these great truths, we pray, through the example of Paul. Bless us now, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.